today, we're going to talk about alternatives to paid Disney World events. That's coming up on this episode 124 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 124. We are going to dive into paid events today. Disney seems to be adding more and more on every day, it seems like, and they want you to pay more for special things, special access, special, you know, privileges, whatever. But I want to give you some alternatives to most of them because they're not required and you might find the alternatives to be just as appealing. I think we could have titled this episode, "Hey Disney, why do you keep charging us for things that used to be free? Don't you make enough money already?" Didn't have quite the same ring to it. So we're just going to put a positive spin on all of these upcharges and see what we can come up with. Before we do that, I do want to remind you to follow on social media because this is a one-way street where I'm talking to you, but I would like you to be able to talk to me as well so we can have like an actual conversation. You just pick your favorite social media platform and look for WDW Prep School, and I am probably there, and follow along. I would love to chat with you. After today's main topic, I will have some news and a quick tip of the day as usual. So let's dive into today's topic. So I'm going to list the several paid events that Disney offers, describe them a little bit for you, and then give you a suggestion as an alternative if you don't want to participate. One of the things that worries me the most about Disney providing more and more paid events for people is that if you have never been, you may start to think that these are required for you to have a good trip, and they are not. And that's why I want to give you an alternative for those. If you're a veteran Disney World visitor, then the new events that Disney offers might just offer you a chance to do something new. That's a situation I often find myself in because every trip I try to do new things. So if there's an extra party or, you know, special thing that they have just made available, a lot of times I will do it just because I want to try out new things, but it's definitely not required and you can have good trips even without it. After I'll get into some of the new things that were announced this week, but my first reaction when I hear them is, oh no, people are going to be overwhelmed and upset and all this kind of stuff because they're not sure if they need to also be doing these in addition to everything else. And sure enough, right after I was talking to Heather about that, we got an email that basically said, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm not sure my trip's actually going to be that great anymore because Disney keeps coming out with all this new stuff and it costs more money, et cetera. And so we assured her that they are not required. And so that was kind of the inspiration for today's episode. So let's just kind of get into what the events are and talk about some alternatives. First up is Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. These are parties that have been taking place for a long time at Magic Kingdom on select nights. In the Halloween party is in September and October. The Christmas party is select nights in November and December. When you go to those parties, you get special fireworks, special parade, treats, character interactions you may not find anywhere else, and you do have to buy a ticket that's usually around $65 to $70, although I do think that price is going to jump this year. And with that ticket, you can attend the party at Magic Kingdom, which takes place 7 p.m. to midnight. The park actually closes at 7 p.m., so people that were there earlier in the day have to leave at 7 o'clock. But you can also get in at 4, as early as 4 o'clock. So 4 to 7, you can enjoy Magic Kingdom as the regular park. And then from 7 to midnight, you can enjoy the party-specific things like the treats and fireworks, and the rides usually have much shorter lines, things like that. So these parties, I actually think are a fun idea. I don't dislike them. I don't necessarily want to persuade people not to attend because they do provide some additional entertainment and short lines and things that you wouldn't normally have. However, if you don't want to pay to attend a Halloween party or Christmas party, you can enjoy the park decor in a regular regular Magic Kingdom day. You know, the Main Street will be lined. It will be pretty. And actually, the Christmas party, before it begins, they actually light the castle. It's Anna and Elsa that do it now. They light the castle. It's very beautiful. So you can still do that before the party begins. You can also enjoy the fireworks if you want to go to a location just outside of Magic Kingdom. The monorail resorts, the Magic Kingdom resorts, have good views if you just want to hang out on the beach and view them. They pipe the music in many spots, and you can watch the fireworks, listen to the music. You also might consider booking a restaurant with a view, such as California Grill at the Contemporary, which happens to be one of my favorites. So you can eat there and then go out on their deck and watch the fireworks, and you can enjoy a part of the parties without actually paying to attend the parties. Next event is dessert parties within parties. This is a thing that Disney has sometimes offered, and the most recent example was during, I think it was the most recent, it was definitely a recent example. In 2015, Disney offered a Happy Hallowishes dessert package. And basically, once you paid for your Halloween party ticket, you could go in and pay this as well to have VIP seating for the parade and a Halloween-themed version of their Tomorrowland Terrace fireworks dessert party. It was $69 for adults, $39 for kids. And we don't know if it's coming back this year, but parties within parties are kind of one of my major pet peeves because, you know, I can see someone, if it's their first trip, trying to go to the Halloween party, Christmas party, but then to have Disney say, oh, but if you want good seating and you want special desserts and things, you're going to have to pay this. And it's just not necessary. You're doubling the cost of attending the party and using a huge chunk of your 5 hours to go and do this thing. So definitely not necessary. And I would recommend in general avoiding dessert parties within parties. Instead of using your party time that you've already paid for, I suggest that you just snag your own desserts and find a good viewing spot on your own. Related to that, and next up on the list, is the general fireworks dessert party. So these have nothing to do with parties. They're like the Halloween or Christmas parties. These are just parties that are offered within the parks that are related to the nighttime entertainment in that park. So the party at Magic Kingdom gives you a view of Wishes. The one at Epcot gives you a view of Illuminations. Hollywood Studios sometimes houses it for their fireworks. And we assume it will be offered at Animal Kingdom when Rivers of Light opens. So you get desserts, hence the name dessert parties. You get drinks. They do have alcoholic drink options in all the parks except Magic Kingdom. But of course, there's non-alcoholic drinks as well. And then they also give you a viewing area for those shows. However, once again, on these, it's totally not required. And some people don't even think the viewing areas are all that great, especially when you can find a good viewing spot on your own and snag your own desserts. I especially do not think that it's worth it at Epcot because there are so many places you can watch Illuminations, and I just don't see the advantage. The dessert party area that they have it's a good view, but you can't sit down. They don't provide seats for you. And I just think there's plenty of other opportunities to find a spot to watch the show. Next up is dinner packages, and right now you have an option to do Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios, a Fantasmic dinner package at Hollywood Studios. And the idea behind this is, the way it works is, you book a dinner package at one of the participating restaurants at Hollywood Studios. It's Mama Melrose, Brown Derby, and Hollywood and Vine. And then when you eat there, it also entitles you to enter a special viewing area during the Fantasmic show. The reserved area for dinner packages is right in the middle of the Fantasmic theater, and it is a great area. So I don't see a huge downside to booking these dinner packages, especially because they don't cost that much different. The cost is very similar. If you happen to be on the Disney dining plan, the number of credits is the same. So that definitely is worth it, because it literally costs you the same to eat at Hollywood and Vine or eat at Hollywood and Vine as part of a Fantasmic dinner package. However, if you don't happen to be eating at one of those restaurants and you want to have an alternative, you could just get a FastPass Plus as a way to get your own reserve viewing area at Fantasmic. So what I like to do is use my first three FastPass Plus reservations at Hollywood Studios, and then I go and grab a FastPass Plus for Fantasmic, and that just guarantees that you'll get to get in a particular area. It's not too bad. It's next to the dinner package people. And I've never had a problem finding a good spot for that show. We do believe that this is also going to be available for Rivers of Light Animal Kingdom. It did pop up in the Android version of My Disney Experience app, where they are going to offer this at Tusker House, Animal Kingdom. We assume it will also be available in one or two other restaurants at Animal Kingdom. So stay tuned for that. We should know more soon. And then just this week, we heard about two new events, one confirmed by Disney, one is rumored. So let's talk about the confirmed event first. The event is called Disney After Hours. And for $149 per person, it's the same price for kids and adults, you get the ability to stay at Magic Kingdom for 3 hours past the official closing time. This takes place on select nights right now in April and May. It has nothing to do with Extra Magic Hours. This is offered on nights when Extra Magic Hours are not offered. And during that time, you'll have access to some popular rides, and they will provide beverages and treats like Mickey ice cream bars or something like that. So your ticket to this will allow you in as early as 7 o'clock. So if Magic Kingdom closes at 10, you can get in as early as 7, hang out between 7 and 10 during normal park hours, and then when the park closes at 10, you'll be able to stay until 1. And you'll get the park, you know, in a much less busy capacity and be able to ride some rides without lines, ideally, we assume, since it hasn't started yet. So if you heard me describing the Halloween and Christmas parties earlier, it kind of sounds similar in that you buy a ticket, it allows you some regular park time, some time after the park closes, but in this case, it doesn't provide you the special exclusive entertainment and, you know, things that are associated with the parties. So, but I assume that at $149, they're not going to sell as many either, and we'll just have to see kind of how it goes. I was trying to imagine. My first response when I heard this was to kind of wince at this being an option, because I thought, oh my gosh, $149 for this. But I guess if I had a short trip, like let's say just a few days, then I could imagine using this to get as much Magic Kingdom time as possible between 7 and 1 a.m. And we actually did, my son and I used a Christmas party kind of like this. We had a 3-day trip, and the only Magic Kingdom time we had was for the Christmas party. So we actually got to go to Magic Kingdom at 4. We were there till midnight. We rode all the rides we were interested in. We got to see a parade. We got to see some fireworks, got some treats. And we actually, you know, used that as our only Magic Kingdom time. This could be similar. However, as an alternative, you might just plan on attending a late night Extra Magic Hour to be able to stay at Magic Kingdom, and usually with shorter lines. Now, I have to talk a little bit about Extra Magic Hours, because I don't usually recommend them. One of the cases where I actually like Extra Magic Hours is when Magic Kingdom is already open late, like let's say 11 p.m. or midnight, and then they have an Extra Magic Hours past that. Because the later it's open and the later you're there, the less likely it is to be super busy. So you actually could have this experience, but without buying an extra $149 ticket. And in May, when, you know, this party is offered in some days in May, May actually does have some late closures at Magic Kingdom. So I would just maybe plan on going to one of those and staying in the park until, you know, 1 a.m. or whatever, but on an Extra Magic Hour night. Of course, that only works for on-site guests. It does not work for off-site guests, because you can't use Extra Magic Hours if you're staying off-site. But anyway, I can see this being used in a couple of situations, but in general, it really doesn't seem necessary. Speaking of not necessary, the last event on the list is called Disney Early Morning Magic, and it is not confirmed. It is just rumored right now, but some details have kind of leaked accidentally on the Disney World website. So the way that this one works is, you might have guessed by the name that it's a morning thing. It's before the park opens. So the way that it is reported to work is that you can go to Magic Kingdom and go in as early as 7:45 a.m., when the park opens at 9. And after you go in, you can ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Peter Pan's Flight, and Winnie the Pooh, and have breakfast at Pinocchio Village House. It costs extra, though. It's $69 for adults, $49 for kids, in addition to your theme park ticket. So you're already paying for theme park tickets, and now you're going to have to pay an extra $69 for adults, $49 for kids, for three rides and a breakfast. Now, I cannot imagine a situation where this ever makes sense. I don't get it. The alternative that I would suggest, if you want to get in early and ride as many rides as possible, is to make a breakfast reservation at Be Our Guest. Order as much or as little as you want. It's a quick service restaurant, so you can order one thing off the menu if you want. There's no requirement. It's not a fixed price menu. Finish your breakfast before the park opens, and position yourself to visit the attractions as soon as they are opened to everybody. And I think not only is this much cheaper, but is going to provide kind of a similar experience because you're already in Fantasyland. You're already positioned to be at the head of that pack. I cannot imagine this actually making sense for very many people. That is going to wrap up my discussion of the paid events and the alternatives to those events, but we still have a bit of news to cover as well, although there was a lot of news kind of couched in that discussion already. First up, Agent P's World Showcase Adventure is something that you can do at Epcot in the World Showcase section. I think it's great for keeping little ones engaged and giving them something to do because they may not otherwise be interested in visiting all the different pavilions. And the way that it has always worked is that you go get an outdated phone and take it around to the pavilions to activate things and watch them happen. But starting this week, you can actually use your own smartphone, which I think is fantastic because kids are familiar with newer technology usually. So when you give them a clamshell phone or a modified smartphone that doesn't actually look very familiar to them, it seems kind of old fashioned. But now you can use your own smartphone to do Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, which I love. Next up, Disney this week removed the Fastpass Plus option for parades and fireworks at Magic Kingdom. The way that this has always worked is if you book a Fastpass Plus to view Festival Fantasy Parade, Main Street Electrical Parade, or Wishes Fireworks, you would get a designated viewing area for those shows. They have taken it away. As far as I know, people that already have those Fastpasses are able to keep them. I have not heard any reports of those being canceled, but it's just that it's not going to be an option going forward for people who are making Fastpass Plus reservations. I have never recommended those as great Fastpass Plus choices because there are so many other ones at Magic Kingdom. But I did kind of like some of them as a bonus. So once the first three were used, then you could go and try to snag one for like Main Street Electrical Parade that night or something like that. I kind of liked it as a bonus, but not as a Fastpass. But now it's kind of a moot point. They're gone. They are no longer an option. Who knows what this means? There have been lots of theories. One theory was they weren't that popular and they took them away, but they were actually hard to get in a lot of cases. So I think they were popular on some level. Another theory is they are going to make these viewing areas part of some sort of paid event, which we've already just talked about. And so we don't know. But right now, they are just not an option at Magic Kingdom anymore. And next up, Disney released new park hours for April, September, and October this week. They actually released them on a Sunday, interrupted Heather and I on a Sunday. So we were data entering the updated hours. And so if you happen to be going in April or September or October, please check the monthly dashboards where all of those hours are located on the website and the recommended parks are located as well. As I mentioned earlier, the Halloween party and Christmas party take place at Magic Kingdom in September, October for Halloween, November, December for Christmas. And those dates were just announced this week as well, that we don't know anything else really about those parties for this year. Like, we don't know ticket prices. We don't know when the tickets are going on sale. And we don't know confirmed entertainment, but we do have the dates. And in the show notes, you can click on the link. I have posts on the Halloween and Christmas parties that include the dates and an overview of what we expect to happen, but it's not confirmed. Finally, on the news slash housekeeping front, I want to let you know that the big project that I announced earlier this year is finally happening. And the first people to know about it will be people on the email list. So if you have not signed up for the email list, please go ahead and do that, because that is who is going to know first. We have gone through testing. We have gone through a small launch with a group that was randomly chosen on the email list, and things have gone pretty well. We've been able to make some tweaks to make things better. And we, going forward, anticipate doing that kind of endlessly as people make suggestions and things like that. But it is finally launching to everyone early next week, and the people on the email list will be the first to know. So sign up if you haven't already. I'm sure I'll be talking about that in a future episode. And I think that's going to wrap up the news. I do have a quick tip of the day before we finish up. And my quick tip is, if you want to know the easiest way to find a place to watch like a fireworks show or parade or something like that, look for the photographers that have tripods. And this is because they almost always know what they're doing. They are in a perfect spot to watch the show, and so it's a perfect spot for you. This occurred to me on my last trip because I was in the same spots I always recommend to people, and I realized every single time I ended up next to the photographers. And most, not every time, but most of the time when I see the people with the tripods, they end up being people that run Disney World websites, and so I want to chat with them. But they know what they're doing. Sort of a related note is, if you are tempted to bring out your camera during some of these shows, I would just suggest that you not do it, because the footage that you're going to get is not going to be as good as the people with the tripods who have already posted this stuff on the internet. And you're taking yourself out of the moment and away from enjoying it with your friends or your family. I do have my camera out every single time, but I use the pictures and the videos for social media and stuff like that. But I just recommend for you that you don't take pictures during your trip of the shows, and try to just focus on being present, and also just focus on taking pictures with your family and friends in them, because clearly those are unique to you and not something that anyone else could capture. If you do want to plan ahead on your fireworks or nighttime show viewing areas, I have a link in the show notes that will allow you to do that. If not, just look for the photographers that have tripods and follow their lead. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can read the show notes in your podcasting app, or you can visit the website and click the podcast tab at the top. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.